Welcome to the Digital Identity Digest, the audio companion to the blog at Spherical Cow Consulting. I'm Heather Flanagan, and every week I break down interesting topics in the field of digital identity, from credentials and standards to browser weirdness and policy twists. If you work with digital identity but don't have time to follow every specification or hype cycle, you're in the right place. Let's get into it.
Welcome back. So I went to Geneva for the World Summit on the Information Society meeting, which is a multi-stakeholder United Nations process organized by the ITU on digital governance and cooperation to understand what, if anything, people were saying about digital identity and standards in a governance-focused forum. And it was really interesting. I'm very glad that I went. So as you know, I am an identity and standards geek. I adore this stuff. The brilliant minds, the weird edge cases, the moments where it feels like we're collectively inching the internet forward. I love the process. Well, I love most of the process. There's some challenges I could definitely do without. But at the same time, I also recognize that the identity industry and the standards world have deep flaws, especially when it comes to representation, especially when it comes to governance. I mean, too often it's the same people in the same room solving the same problems from the same perspectives. And that is not how progress works, at least not the kind we need, I think. So when I found out that I would be in Geneva for a different conference, the Global Digital Collaboration Conference, which, by the way, far exceeded my expectations, I applied for accreditation to attend the WSIS Plus 20 high-level event, which is how it's referred to. Now, WSIS is part of a longstanding United Nations process focused on digital governance and cooperation. According to the official description, it's about, and I quote, fostering people-centered, inclusive, and development-oriented information and knowledge societies. Well, that's a mouthful. But in practical terms, it means being in the room where people from across governments, civil societies, and international organizations come together to talk about the future of digital governance at a global scale. Now, my goal in all of this was actually fairly simple, which is to listen to people I didn't usually get to hear from and to try and understand why identity, governance, and internet policy, those all feel like separate worlds, despite all the talk about how interconnected they are. So I'm still sorting through what I learned at this particular event, but yeah, I am very glad I went. So the first session I attended was called Defending Our Voice, Global South Participation in Digital Governance. And it definitely set the tone for the things that I was hearing for the remainder of the event. So the session was moderated by Kemli Camacho from the Association for Progressive Communications, and the panel included speakers from IT for Change, Derechos Digitales, the UN Human Rights Office, and the Brazilian Internet Steering Committee. And they weren't there to talk about standards. But what they said really hit home because it maps so well into what I'm seeing in the standards space. So this first speaker, her name was Nadini Chowney, laid out some pretty powerful truths. The first being that presence does not equal participation. I mean, just being in the room doesn't mean someone gets to influence the agenda. Real participation means shaping the priorities, not just reacting to them. The next thing she pointed out was that a multi-stakeholder model does not actually equal public policy. Equal footing in a conversation doesn't magically lead to policy that serves everyone. What matters is how those different interests are mediated and resolved. Now, she pointed back to the Mundial 2014 process, which argued that legitimacy in internet governance has to be earned. It can't just be assumed because the structure looks inclusive on paper. And, you know, at the same time, she's highlighting a public trust deficit, a longstanding skepticism rooted in how governance spaces have been dominated by powerful countries and corporations, which often sideline the needs of less represented communities. And finally, she reminded us that being technical does not mean being apolitical. The choices we make in designing standards reflect values. They shape systems and social norms. Even when civil society is invited, participation is often, using her word, tokenistic. There are visa problems, there's language barriers, there's no funding to travel. And when people do make it into the room, there's often no translation, no agenda in advance, no mechanism to follow up. What another speaker said that stuck with me is participation is costly and it's also risky because sometimes just showing up to these events come with political risk. And even if you get there, there's no guarantee that your voice matters. So yeah, it's not just about who's in the room. It is about who gets heard and whether their contributions actually shape the outcome. And as a working group chair in a standards organization, you know, this kind of thing hurts because I know I try and be inclusive. But I generally listen to who's willing to speak up. Need to do better. So the next thing that I was hearing is that, not so much hearing, but interpreting from all of this, is that identity and access management is kind of a multi-tool, which is great, but we're not the whole toolbox. So most of the people at the WSIS event weren't thinking about digital identity at all. Not really. They're tackling the huge issues of human rights, economic justice, environmental resilience. And within that landscape, digital identity is just one of the tools that they have in a very large toolbox that they have to figure out how to use to best effect. And this actually reminded me of a conversation I had at the bar at Identiverse earlier this year because, of course, all the best conversations happen at the bar. I was chatting with Andrew Hindel and Richard Bird about how siloed identity projects are within organizations. Even though IAM touches everything, it touches HR, finance, compliance, security, it rarely actually gets acknowledged across those other domains. And that's because identity folks think in systems and everyone else thinks in functions. They've got their own languages, their own priorities, their own deadlines, and learning the language of IAM is not actually part of their job. The same disconnect is happening on a global level. At the WSIS Plus 20 event, most of them have never heard of SAML or FIDO. They're not talking about consumer or workforce identity. They may need identity verification in their work, but they're not actually even framing it that way. They're talking about data sovereignty. They're talking about rights. They're talking about accountability. Their understanding is that technology is not, in fact, neutral, and they expect technologists to design systems grounded in human rights. Now, I've previously written that technology is ready, but the governance is not. And now, you know what, I think I might have to revise that a little bit because the governance is happening. It's just happening somewhere else in a room with very different vocabulary. And honestly, that is so overwhelming. There are so many governance processes happening in parallel. We've got WSIS, we've got the IGF, we've got the Global Digital Collaboration, we've got national frameworks, we've got regional strategies. I mean, even for seasoned experts, this is a lot to keep track of. And for civil society groups, trying to track all of that, plus human rights issues and who knows what else, on a shoestring budget in multiple languages, it's not possible. And that's leading to some, I think it's more than a risk, it's leading to an actuality of fragmentation that produces conflicting or incompatible outcomes. And so no one's winning. Right, so how do we bridge that gap? It's tempting to say that we just need to all get technologists into policy rooms or get policymakers into technical working groups. I don't think that's actually enough because it isn't just about presence, it's about power and figuring out how to share that power across two very different systems. The only halfway satisfying idea that I've got right now is something like mandated consultations in both directions, meaning that policy decisions should be reviewed by expert technical groups, and technical standards should be reviewed by policymakers and civil societies. It should be like a baseline requirement. However, even that idea frustrates me, to be honest, because it's going to slow things down even more at a time when we're already struggling to keep up. And the slower we go, the more space we leave for de facto standards, those not driven by thoughtful consensus, but by market dominance. I just can't see another way to bridge the growing legitimacy gap in how we make standards and how people expect governance to work. And consultation, you know, frankly, won't be enough if there's no accountability. One of the speakers pointed out that the WSIS event Elements paper, which is sort of the scaffolding for this whole conversation, barely used strong human rights language. It was, in their word, wiggly. So we need more than listening. We need traceability and accountability. We need ways to track what feedback was given, what was included, and what was left out and why. This isn't just a process gap. This is a legitimacy problem. So if you've been in one of these policy rooms, or if you've tried to bring identity work into broader governance conversations, I'd actually really love to hear from you, because I don't see how we get from these two parallel sets of worlds to one where we can actually work together. But I'm listening and would love to hear your ideas.
And that's it for this week's episode of the Digital Identity Digest. If it helps make things a little clearer, or at least a little more interesting, share it with a friend or colleague and connect with me on LinkedIn at HL Flanagan. And if you enjoyed the show, do be sure to subscribe and leave me a rating and review on Apple Podcasts or wherever you listen to podcasts. You can also find the written full post at sphericalcowconsulting.com. Now stay curious, stay engaged, and let's get these conversations going.